I bet they have a good time, but I bet they don't use words like cattywampus in children's church. I bet they don't. Well, we are, and we started last week on a sermon series called Cattywampus. If you don't know what cattywampus is, the definition we gave last week was what a table looks like after a two-year-old has been done playing on it, right? That was the thought we had. That helped us understand what the word cattywampus means. So if you don't know cattywampus, either you're not from around here, or you didn't get raised right if you were from around here, okay? So that's, I love you, I still love you, but that's just the truth. Either you're not from around here, or you didn't get raised right if you're from around here. Cattywampus just means things are messed up, all right? Cattywampus is just haphazardness. It's craziness sometimes. And in the church, in our Christian walk, in the Bible, we get scripture messed up sometimes. We read it and maybe we hear somebody talk about it or we read something about it and we think that that's the truth and it's really not. And so we're looking at a few scriptures over these next few weeks just to try to figure out what are some scriptures that we mess up and what do they really mean. And we talked last week also about how we come to find out what any scripture can really mean. It's not just these, but when we look at any scripture, how can we look at it? How can we decipher it the right way and know what it means and what it's trying to say to us? This week, we're going to use a couple of verses in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus actually speaking in Matthew chapter 7, and he says this in verses 1 and 2. Do not judge so that you won't be judged. For you will be judged by the same standard with which you judge others, and you will be measured by the same measure you use. Probably among Christians and definitely non-Christians, one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, I would say, that they don't know they're quoting, but they know it's in there somewhere. Well, it says in the Bible, you're not supposed to judge. And this is what they're talking about. And it's not just in the Bible. It's Jesus actually says it. And believers and non-believers alike will say things like you can't judge me. You can't tell me how to live. Well, you're a sinner too, so what are you doing telling me this? I just want to live my life. And it doesn't, and society believes this, that it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what's going on, as long as we're happy, as long as we believe we're sincere, and as long as we live and we don't hurt anybody else, well, everything else must be okay. And that's the kind of thought that comes up when somebody says this verse, don't judge. But this is something that is very important this morning. We have to be careful with this. We have to be very careful with this, and we can't mess this verse up today. We can't mess this section of verses up today, because the way we judge and the way we interpret this verse of do not judge, the way we treat that in our everyday lives, around the people we work with, around our family, around the people we go to school with, all of those things, the way we do that can help or hurt our witness as much as anything else that I can probably think of. The way that we judge feels horrible to be judged, doesn't it? Feels pretty bad, especially when somebody's wrongly judging you. It feels bad. All of us maybe have been in that point before. We've all been wrongly judged. People have thought things about us or even said things about us that are far from the truth. I can remember sitting in a church one Sunday morning. I think I've told y'all, some of y'all, this before. We had been reaching a group of people that lived in the little efficiency apartments. It was called the Henderson Hotel, but they were really little efficiency apartments a couple blocks away from our church. And I had been doing some Bible studies there. I had been going up and just saying hi to people and just getting to know them. And they had been coming and eating Wednesday night supper with us. A group of them had, and finally we got them to start coming to church. And about the first or second Sunday that a lot of them came, the whole row was filled up. Lindsay and I were on the end, and the whole rest of the row was filled up with people who didn't look like the rest of us, didn't smell like the rest of us, didn't talk like the rest of us, didn't act like the rest of us, but they were there, and we wanted them there because we wanted them to know Jesus. We wanted them to feel the love of a church family. And they didn't. And on top of them not being talked to and people not treating them well and people not loving on them, we had an interim pastor at the time that got up and all of a sudden started going off about how bad tattoos were. By the way, it never says in Scripture that you shouldn't have a tattoo. It says you shouldn't tattoo your or cut yourself or tattoo yourself. Mark yourself for the dead. They were talking about, it's a whole different sermon for a whole different time, but they were talking about relating with other religions is what they were doing. They were like, you see these other religions doing this, and you're doing it because you think it's going to do something for you. Well, it's not, so stop doing it. That's what tattoos mean, okay? Now, he didn't believe that. He believed all tattoos were wrong, and he even said if you had one after you're a Christian, shame on you. And zero of those people came back the next Sunday. They felt judged, and they were judged. And Jesus says we ought not judge, right? So how do we handle that? I'm going to tell you another personal story. It's not a personal story. This is just in general. When somebody meets me just in public or something like that, and they hear, well, Justin's a pastor, well, then I get treated totally different. I'm not a person anymore. Now I'm a pastor, whatever that means. I don't know. But I'm not a person anymore. It's kind of like an alien visiting sometimes, and people treat you really weird, and then they start asking all these Bible questions and they think they have to try to impress you. No, you don't have to do any of that. But I get judged because people say, well, you're a preacher. I remember a guy sitting in my office one day and he said, well, what are you going to do? Well, I said something about having to go somewhere this afternoon. He said, what are you going to do this afternoon? I said, well, I got to take a little time and I got to go make sure my deer stand's ready and I'm putting out a little food plot and, you know, I'm just going to check on some stuff back home. And he was like, you hunt? And I said, yeah, why? And he said, well, I didn't think preachers hunted. So being judged, and that didn't hurt as much, but being judged hurts. Maybe that's why Jesus said, don't do it. But if this verse is true, and if we interpret it as don't judge, and there's never a time where you can say something about anybody, there's never a time where somebody can't call you out and tell you where you're wrong, if that's what we believe about it, then this is also true. You could also go to your teacher, teenager, you could also go to your teacher and say, Slayton, you could go to Miss Ricks. If this is true and says don't judge, you could go to her and say, you can't give me that grade. You can't judge me. You can do that. When you get pulled over, Slayton, you better never get pulled over. When you get pulled over, you could tell the police officer, well, you can't give me a ticket. You can't judge me, right? Because if we take that as serious as some people do, that's what we would say to him. And then when he rips you out of the car and gives you a court date, and then you're sitting in front of the court, and maybe a judge or maybe a jury, depending on how you acted in that situation, you could look at them and say, well, you can't judge me. You can't act like that to me. Why? Because that's the mechanism that we go back on, and we use this verse out of context, which we remember from last week. Context is important when we're trying to figure out what these verses mean. Interpreting that scripture with other scripture is important. And then learning how to apply the scripture to our lives is important. And if we don't do any of that stuff, and we get this wrong, we hurt our witness, especially on this verse, especially on what it means to judge others. We hurt our witness more than anything else in the world. If we look at the context of this verse in Matthew chapter 7, in the chapter before that, in chapter 6, Jesus speaks about hypocrisy at least three times. And he's calling out a specific group of people who are being hypocrites. That's the Pharisees. But he's saying it for everybody to hear. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He's saying it for everybody to hear so that they will know what it's like to be a hypocrite, and they won't do that. So he's talking about hypocrisy. And then in chapter 7, he goes on. He says, don't judge. He talks about false prophets, about watching out for people. He talks about how Jesus will judge people. And so that's the context of what we want to look at. Jesus is not telling us to not show discernment. He didn't say that. He told us to see right and wrong. He's trying to help us. He didn't say not to correct. He says don't judge hypocritically if we read it in context. Watch out for people. Don't judge them hypocritically. Here's what he goes on and says in verses 3 through 5. Why do you look at the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the beam of wood in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the splinter out of your eye, and look, there's a beam of wood in my own eye? Hypocrite. First take the beam of wood out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the splinter out of your brother's eye. When you read the rest of the context of that verse, you see that Jesus is not saying don't judge and that's it. He's saying do it the right way. So what's the right way to judge somebody? Guess what? You're going to learn how to judge somebody this morning. Is that good? Some of you are A-plus at it already, I know. But we're going to learn to do it the biblical way this morning, okay? First thing we want to do, and the Bible's clear about judging. We're going to translate that scripture with other scripture this morning. But the first thing we do in judging is we never judge something or someone superficially. And we all do this. We all judge based on looks. I just gave you a story about it. We all judge somebody based on the way they sound. We all judge somebody based on what they drive, where they live, color of their skin, style of their hair, the type of music they listen to. I used to work with a guy growing up. Scotty was his name. Scotty had worked for the guy I grew up working for a million years. I don't know how many he worked, but his son was my age. He was probably my parents' age. His son was my age, graduated with me, and I worked with his dad, Scotty. And Scotty was just a regular old farmhand. He was a good guy. Was saved later in life, which was really cool to know. And we just worked well together. We both liked each other, and he was a super guy. Now, Scotty never made it. I don't know how far he made it in school, but he didn't graduate. Probably didn't make it too far into middle school. And if he did, Scotty didn't probably need to be in the grade he was in. Book smarts wise, he just didn't ever have it. He couldn't read. He couldn't write his name very well. I remember the first time I realized all of this, we were mixing some chemical to spray, and my boss told him, he said, Scotty, you're going to fill that up, and I want you to put two Coke cans, two Mountain Dew cans. He can measure anything in a Mountain Dew can. Two Mountain Dew cans of chemical in with that, and then when you come back, you put two more in. I got you. And with the chemical, a measuring cup came with it. And so I asked Rod, I said, well, why don't you just tell him 24 ounces? Why don't we just do that? And he said, Scotty don't know what 24 looks like, more than 12 or 6 or 10 or whatever. And I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, he can't read those numbers. And I thought eyesight couldn't read the numbers. I thought, well, he's just getting old. He can't read numbers. No, he couldn't read. And if you would look at Scotty and you knew that about him, you would think, well, this guy's dumber than a box of bricks. And he has no idea what he's doing. We have to babysit him all the time. And none of that was true. Because that guy had the most common sense of anybody I ever knew. When I got myself into trouble, I called Scotty and he would figure a way out of it. If I got a truck stuck, I called Scotty and we would figure a way to get it out. If I got something messed up or bent or broke, I called Scotty and said, hey, I need your help. And we would get it fixed. If you looked at him from the outside superficially, you would see one thing. If you got to know him and be around him, you would know different than that. And we do that with people all the time. We judge people superficially all the time. Jesus says this in John chapter 7. Stop judging according to outward appearances. Rather, judge according to righteous judgment. You know what he's saying? He says, look below the surface so that you can judge correctly. Don't judge somebody superficially. Judge them from the inside. And it says righteous judgment. What's righteous judgment? Righteous judgment is, does somebody know Jesus or do they not? That's a righteous judgment on somebody. And you and I can guess on that, but you and I never know 100% true. But you can sure tell a lot about how somebody lives, whether they know Jesus or not. how you judge somebody, how you live your life, the things you say, the things you do, the places you go. You can look at all of that stuff and go, you know what? I don't think Justin knows Jesus. I need to introduce him to Jesus. That's why we don't judge superficially, because you don't know. You have no idea superficially, but when you get to know somebody and you dig in with somebody, you're not judgy when you're trying to figure out if they know Jesus or not. You're doing that in love. And if they don't know Jesus, if the answer is no in righteous judgment, if they know Jesus or not, then it's our job to point them to Jesus. It's our job to do that. Righteous judgment leads us to compassion and love and service. It bothers us because somebody's eternal life is not set with Jesus, and their eternal life is at stake when we deal with them. We judge people, but we don't judge them superficially. We judge them righteously. We look at them and say, do they know Jesus or not? Second thing we know about judging is what we've already said earlier. We don't judge hypocritically. You don't judge somebody hypocritically. When we point out the sins of others, we're doing the same back on ourselves is what we're doing. In Romans chapter 2, Paul says this. This is the New Living Translation, just because he says it a little bit easier. He says, you might think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. That's a hypocrite, by the way. And you have no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, are you condemning yourself? For you who judge others, do these very same things. And then jump down to verse 4. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that kindness, His kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? We like to accuse others and excuse ourselves. That's what we like to do. And Paul's saying, listen, when you do that, you're out of line because you do the exact same things. You'll say things like, well, that guy's a bully. And then you go and bully somebody that you feel is weaker than you. You'll look at some lady and say, well, I can't believe she wore that. And then you go to work and flirt with people. You look at a couple and go, can you believe that that man just left his wife? Can you believe that? But you go home and look at pornography. That's what Paul's saying. You wanna talk about what somebody has wrong? You want to judge somebody? Well, you're going to do it hypocritically if you're going to play the matching game. Because you're going to match something that you feel like you've not done. Well, I've never killed anybody. But no, Jesus says if you have hate in your heart, it's just as bad. So whenever we want to judge somebody hypocritically, we have no leg to stand on to do that. Our harshest judgments on people will often reveal our biggest weaknesses in our own life. The harsher we are towards something, the bigger deal we have going on in the back that nobody knows. That's judging somebody hypocritically. And it doesn't point them to Jesus, and it has no bearing on whether they know Jesus or not. You're just judging somebody, and you're not any better. The third thing about judgment, I think what we see is this. We should never hold non-Christians to Christian standards. Now, that doesn't mean you can't want the best for somebody, and that doesn't mean you can't want somebody to be more like Jesus or to be more moral even. We should want that. Even the worst people ought to want others to at least have a little bit of morals to them, a little bit of sense. But you can never, when judging somebody, you can never expect a non-Christian to live like a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 5:12, Paul says this, for what business is it of mine to judge outsiders? Don't you judge those who are on the inside? You know what he's saying? He's saying it's no business of mine what they do out there. I'm worried about the church. I'm worried about Christians. That's what I'm worried about. That's what Paul's saying. It's like us going up to somebody and saying, hey, you non-Christian, you need to start acting different. You're not acting like a Christian. Well, no, they're not acting like a Christian. Why would they? Why would they? It's like me going to Tim and saying, listen, you don't act very well like a Cardinals fan. You just can't expect some people to have enough sense to do that, right? I mean, he just hasn't been saved yet is what it is. He just doesn't know. Can't expect him. You can't hold non-Christians to Christian standards. When someone's not a follower of Jesus, you can't hold them to follower of Jesus kind of standards. Oh, you could want the best for them, but you ought to want more than them just acting like a Christian. You ought to want more than them just acting right in their life. You ought to want them to be saved. You ought to want them to know Jesus. You ought to want them to get to know the guy who can change their life into being more like him. You ought to want them to get to know that guy. Don't hold them to non-Christian standards. That's judging somebody. I remember playing church softball back in the day. You remember those church softball days, don't you? And you had a bunch of old, broke-down guys who thought that they were the best, and none of them were any good, and then they show up, and somebody pulls a hamstring, and somebody else is missing work tomorrow because he twisted his ankle, and like all this stuff happens. Well, some old boy gets up, and you know, he's maybe there's a guy on base. You need one run to win the game, and there's a guy on third base, and he's like, man, all he needs a base hit, and he whiffs it, pops it up. I mean, just pops it straight up, and he gets caught. Game over. He gets so mad, he's slinging his bat, and he's throwing it, and other guys are mad at him. Can't you just hit the ball? I've been on teams like that where guys thought church softball guys were professional athletes. And I can promise you, anybody that plays church softball is in no way a professional athlete. The reason they're playing church softball is because there was no chance they would be a professional athlete. Okay? But just like we look at those guys and expect them to be professional athletes, we look at people who don't know Jesus and expect them to act a certain way. You can't do that. You can't judge people based on how they act if they don't know Jesus. You can't do that. You can't do it. It doesn't do any good to do that. Our job is not to point out sin for people like that. Our job is not to try to change people like that. Our job is to introduce them to a God who will change them, who will point out their sin, who will love them, and we ought to love them as well. And then the last thing I think we ought to know about judgment is that we always help other believers who have fallen to be restored. Because that's another area of judgment where we fall down a whole lot of times. We see somebody who is a Christian, they have a really bad thing that goes on, and you just write them off. We just write them off, don't we? Well, they're not any good anymore. They can't do any good anymore. Yeah, you can come to church, but we're not going to let you do anything. Yeah, you can come to church, but we're not going to let you teach Sunday school anymore. You can come to church, but we're not going to let you sing up here. You can do any of this stuff. We're going to put clamps on you. And I hate to tell you this, but all of us at one point or another are going to fall. All of us at one point or another are going to mess up. All of us at one point or another are going to be a Christian, and we're going to do something that we're really upset about, that we're ashamed of. All of us are going to do it. And so how do we want people to treat us when that happens? We want them to restore us, don't we? That's what Scripture says we ought to do. We ought to restore one another. And we ought to do that for others as well. Galatians chapter 6 says this, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in a wrongdoing, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so that you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ." I can tell you, some of the greatest servants of Jesus I know have had a past and have come back to Jesus. I could introduce you to a guy today that's sitting in a pew in Henderson County, Kentucky. His name's Tommy Gass. Has a past, but loves Jesus, and God is using him in the church, and he loves the Lord. He's been restored. Man, we had whenever I was at that church in Henderson, we had a whole row of guys that had a past. All of them had been to jail. Some of them prison. I mean, we had a whole row of them in the back. And I loved it. I loved it. Because they felt comfortable coming. Because they felt loved when they came. Because they wanted to know more about Christ. Because they wanted to grow in their faith. Always, we always have to help other believers who have fallen be restored. You can't do that unless you have a relationship with them. You've got to get to know those people. You've got to get to know people in order to restore them and to carry their burdens with them. That same group of men that were at that church, we started a men's Bible study group on Thursday mornings at 10:30. You know why we started at 10:30? Because about the time we were done, lunch would be ready, and we could go eat lunch somewhere together. So we would come, and we would study God's Word, and we would pray together, and we would eat together. We actually liked each other. There's like 7 or 8 of us that met every Thursday, and we did that. And we loved it. And those guys, it was just a group of guys walking beside each other all the time. There was no judgment going on. There was no calling each other out going on. There was no hatred going on. There was no divisiveness going on. We just all liked each other. We just all loved each other. We just all supported each other. And we carried one another's burdens with each other. Because we knew we were all in the same boat. We knew we were all involved in sin. We knew we need each other to carry each other's burdens. We didn't look down on each other. We carried each other in prayer and by living life with one another. Why not when we judge, can't we just be harsh? You know, some of y'all are good at that. But why can't we just be harsh? I'm harsh sometimes too. I had a lady last night try to tell me I couldn't park at the airport and in the waiting area. And she kept talking and explaining herself, and I was explaining that I was there to pick somebody up, and they were just right inside, and she just kept talking, and she wasn't going to have any of it. So I just shut the door, and it got about right there. I just shut the door and left. I was a little harsh. Why can't we just be harsh? Why can't we just correct people? Why can't we? And we will say, well, I'm just telling them the truth. I'm just telling them the truth. Why can't we just be like that? Well, because when we look at Jesus, Jesus didn't do that. John chapter 1, verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's talking about Jesus. We observed His glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth, not full of correction and criticism or full of hurt and harshness. It wasn't any of that stuff. He says, full of grace and truth. And then you jump down to verse 17. He says it again. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. There's a difference in the way we handle people than others. Jesus being full of grace and truth, that's the way He loves. That's the way we have to love. That's the way we have to judge people. Full of grace and truth. And that means when we look at a non-Christian, full of grace and truth means the truth is they don't know Jesus. The grace is I'm going to walk alongside of them and tell them about Jesus until hopefully they get to know Him. Somebody who is a Christian, you look at them and say, here's the truth of their situation. I need to tell them about it, but I need to have the grace to know that I've struggled with stuff too, and I'm going to walk alongside that person. I'm going to carry their burdens alongside of them. The more we love Jesus, the more we get to know Him, the more we study Him, the more you'll want to be more like Him in grace and truth. The more we'll want to judge people like Jesus judges people. If it's all truth and no grace, it's harsh and it turns people away. And if it's all grace and it's no truth, then it's fluffy. And it gives us a license to sin because, hey, grace just means He's going to forgive us so I can just keep doing these old rotten things I've been doing. And Jesus is still going to love me. Truth is you lovingly going to somebody that's struggling. And grace is you walking with them while they work on their life. Truth is showing somebody how to live a godly life. And grace is showing them that you mess up too. Truth is seeing someone in a low moment, and grace is not holding that low moment against them. It's loving them. We want to know how to judge. We want to know what Jesus meant when He said, don't judge. Now, don't judge superficially. Don't judge hypocritically. Don't judge somebody that's not a Christian as a Christian should be. Find out if they know the Lord. That's how you judge somebody. Find out if they know Jesus. And then offer grace and truth to them. Find out if somebody, and if they do know Jesus, and they're struggling, you offer grace and truth, and you walk alongside them, and you carry their burdens with them. Listen, Jesus didn't say that this kind of stuff was going to be easy. He never says it. It doesn't say, hey, here's a 10-step program to make it easy to love people, make it easy to deal with people, make it easy to be in a church family. Here's 10 steps. No. No, he didn't do it. In fact, he just gave us 27 books of the New Testament about how hard it is and how we mess up all the time. Right? That's what he did. So, two questions for you this morning. Number one, do you know Jesus? Are you a follower of Jesus today? That's all I'm worried about with you. If you don't know Jesus today, I want you to know him. I want you to let him come in and change your life because I know he can. Listen, I've struggled with trying to do it myself. I've seen others trying to struggle to do it themselves. We can't do it. We can't get it right. But with Jesus, he makes us right. With Jesus, we can be right. With Jesus, we're forgiven when nobody else can forgive us. With Jesus, we're judged whether we know him or not, whether we're followers or not. That's the truth. But then grace steps in and says, you know what? But if you'll just turn to me, I don't care what you've done, when you've done it, who you've done it with, I want you. And I want you to turn to me. That's what grace says to us through Jesus. Grace says, I want you to turn to me. And if you'll just turn to me, I'll forgive you. I'll give you a brand new home in heaven. I'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a brand new life. Do you need Jesus today? Do you need to turn your life over to Jesus today? Have you been faking it, playing the faking game a long time, playing the church game? And today's the day you're like, you know what? No more games. I'm just going to turn my life over to Jesus. I'm just doing it. I don't care what anybody else thinks about me. Let's just get that out of the way. I'm just going to give my life to Jesus today. And I want my church family to know about it. I want you to come up here and tell me that, if that's what you want to do today. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you come up and I'll show you in Scripture what it means to be saved. I pray for you. You can pray today and tell Jesus that you want to turn your life over to him. And you know what he'll do? In a moment's notice, he'll save you. He'll forgive you. He'll give you grace upon grace. What if you are a Christian? Has your number one concern about people been, does this person know Jesus or not? Or has it been, I can't believe they did this. I can't believe they did that. Did you hear what so-and-so did? Did you hear what so-and-so said? Did you see what so-and-so was drinking? Or are we more worried about them knowing Jesus? And then, maybe you do see somebody. Maybe you do see another Christian that's struggling. Are you going to sit back and talk about them? Or are we as a church family, are we going to love them through it? Are we going to show them truth and grace? Are we going to carry one another's burdens like Paul told us to in Galatians chapter 6? Are you going to walk alongside of them, arm in arm, carrying them when they needed carried, dragging them when they need drug, loving them when they need love? Are you going to do that for somebody? So we all have a decision to make this morning. This is not just one person in here or one group or one type of person that needs to make a decision. All of us have a decision to make. Yeah, Bible says don't judge. And when we take it out of context, we can go 1,000 different ways with it. But if we love people like Jesus loved them, we won't judge. But we'll walk hand in hand with him and restore him. That's what he wants us to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for today, Jesus, for the scripture we read. And Lord, I pray it was clear to us this morning, Jesus. I pray it was something that spoke to us this morning. Lord, I pray it's something that would change my life today, that I would leave here differently than what I walked in with, that I would not judge, Lord, in the way the world judges, but Lord, that I would judge people based on how you judge them, whether they know you or not. And then Lord, if somebody does know you, Lord, I pray that I wouldn't judge them either, Lord, but that I would go to them with grace and truth, just like you would, and that I would carry their burdens with them, and I would walk hand in hand with them. Lord, help me to do that better. Help me to do that better, Jesus. Lord, you give grace upon grace to me. And you also tell me the truth. Lord, help me to be that example to other Christians. We love you, Jesus. We ask that you move in our hearts now. We ask that you would move in our midst. Lord, that you would move in our bodies, that if we need to get up and come pray, or we need to tell the church family something, maybe we need to come down and tell the church family we've been saved and we've been forgiven. Lord, that'd be an awesome thing. You move in all parts of this place today. We love you, Jesus. We ask it all in your name. Amen.